When the bishops of the world gathered in Rome for the Second Vatican Council in the 1960s, they issued a document which encouraged everyone to be holy, not all in the same way, but in ways which were appropriate for our lifestyles. More recently, Sister Deborah Cirullo asked how people can love God above all else in the midst of ordinary life. One answer is for everyone, religious or not, to practice the virtues of the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience in everyday life. Listen to what she wrote. Because I am called as a sister to live those virtues radically by renouncing ownership of property, renouncing exclusive and sexual friendships, and sometimes by renouncing my own will to the will of another, I have many opportunities to experience and value the virtues of these vows for my life as a Christian. My experiences of trying to live simply in a consumer society, chastely in a society of sexual excess, and with acceptance of my personal powerlessness in so many situations of life, are often no different than those of many others who are trying to do the same. Sister benefits from the fact that she shares her lifestyle and commitment with the other people in her community. But what is worth noticing is that she does not think of herself as someone who has a higher vocation, for example, than someone who is married. She is simply saying that she has extra support in doing something every Christian is called to do. I'm surprised by the number of times people ask me to say a prayer for them. I have no problem with doing that, but I get a funny feeling at times that people are foisting on to me something they're not prepared to do themselves. Sometimes, if I think I know someone reasonably well, I will say to them, "Yes, I will do it, as long as you pray for the same thing." Then sometimes people say with an oily tone, "Oh, but Father, your prayers are so much more powerful than mine." I think, why bother? Smile equally unconvincingly and get on with it. A similar thing happens with children who betray their own unconscious double standards when they tell me that priests are always supposed to tell the truth and behave correctly. When I say that the same applies to everyone, they seem offended. People often proclaim triumphantly that priests have been knocked off their pedestals. Well, as far as I can tell, from more than 20 years trying to become a good priest, we perch there pretty precariously, because we are put there by other people. I'm sure it has always suited people from the most primitive tribes to the most complex civilizations to be able to shift the burden of relationships with the gods onto a few professional, holy people. It's like having a guard dog. If you feed him regularly, he will bark at the appropriate moments and protect you, and stay in his kennel at other times. Some people treat priests and religious sisters that way. If you keep them sweet, they will ward off evil spirits and generate an aura of respectability, and you just hope they keep out of the way for the rest of the time. In times of national grief or disasters, the clergy are very welcome, but they are hardly noticed at other times. If a priest or a nun appears in a doctor's surgery or in a bar, or worst of all, in the close confines of a lift, people become very uncomfortable. If you are interested in some deep thoughts on this subject, you could read some of the books written by René Girard, who has a theory that societies have a fundamental need to create scapegoats whom they can punish publicly. I grew up in a society which treated priests like this, and probably reacted that way myself. But I was shocked into reality by a marvellous Jesuit priest who came to give a retreat at my school. He told us something I've thought about ever since. He said, "You know, boys, my job as a priest is to become obsolete. I have to live in such a way that other people want to love God. It is probably the most powerful reason I have ever had for becoming a priest. Not to do things for people, but to enable them to change. By my example, by teaching, and in all sorts of other ways. In many situations, I have failed. But there have been some good days. People do respond.